Many Americans know Batman from the 1960s TV series.
Quickly, let's race to the Batmobile.
But Batman's been around since 1939, when he first appeared as a character in Detective Comics. A handsome bachelor, Bruce Wayne pursued criminals in Gotham City in a bat costume with an array of gadgets and his quick wit. As part of the series present at the creation, independent producer John Kalish reports on the origins of this enduring superhero.
Batman debuted in issue number 27 of Detective Comics. The Caped Crusader is seen on the cover swinging from a rope with a criminal in a headlock as two gunmen watch from a nearby rooftop. The inaugural story was about a chemical magnate who murdered his partners. The new comic book character was created by 18-year-old Bob Kane, who explained the origin of the image to Fresh Air's Terry Gross in a 1990 interview.
I saw a book by Leonardo da Vinci, a book of inventions, and he had the flying machine, an ornithopter, and it was a man on a sled with huge bat wings. And the quote was, "Your bird shall have no other model but that of a bat."
Kane said a couple of movies he saw as a kid also helped. One called The Bat featured a villain in a bat costume. Another was The Mark of Zorro with Douglas Fairbanks Sr.
During the day, he was a board count in the Southern California in the 1880s, and at night he became a crusader fighting against the injustices of the dictatorship at that time.
Kane, along with writer Bill Finger, gave Batman the alter ego of wealthy bachelor Bruce Wayne. Although Batman's motivation for fighting crime wasn't explained in that first issue, later it was revealed that as an 8-year-old boy, Bruce Wayne had a traumatic criminal encounter.
I love the fact that Batman, you can sum him up in a sentence, you know, his parents were murdered in front of his eyes.
Comic book writer Frank Miller.
He's got this gorgeous streak of malice running through him that makes him a really exciting character. He's a badass. That's his appeal. He's not a role model. He's not there to tell us all how to behave. He's a scary fantasy.
He also embodied the fantasy of being rich at a time when the country was just coming out of the Depression and watching a world war begin in Europe. In the autumn of 1939, the Batman team hired college student Jerry Robinson to assist with inking and lettering. Robinson is 80 years old today.
Batman was a normal human being. We thought that concept was, in the long run, much stronger because he was vulnerable. The kids could more easily imagine themselves as Batman than they could Superman. And also Batman lived up to all their fantasies. He was very rich. He was very good looking. He had this mansion. He had a Batmobile. He had a butler. You know, all these things. And yet he was for the common man and the underdog.
Batman's sidekick, Robin, was introduced about a year after Batman's debut. The Boy Wonder is considered a key element in the longevity of the dynamic duo. A lot of kids who perhaps can't see themselves as Batman can see themselves as Robin. The comic did well in the 1940s, but like other superheroes, Batman was sanitized in the 1950s by the McCarthy-era comic code. Batman got so far removed from his original character that by 1966 he came to be known as this. Many episodes of the campy TV series began with the police commissioner calling on Batman and Robin to grapple with Gotham City's most notorious criminals.
Why is an orange like a bell?
Answer, because they both must be peeled.
Right. You peel an orange and you peel a bell, get it?
The Riddler's mind is twisted. Crime's no fun for him unless it means outwitting us.
Robin's right.
By the 1970s, the age of the primary audience for comic books had shifted from elementary and junior high school kids to high school and college students. A new team of artists and writers started cranking out Batman stories with more adult content, says Ron Goulart, the author of 7 books on the history of comics.
They're bringing back into comics what had been gone after the code and after the criticisms, and that is they're bringing elements of horror, they're bringing elements of mystery and murder and crime, only they're handling it a little more tastefully, but they're dealing with themes that I think would not have appealed to a 6-year-old kid.
Batman himself aged considerably in Frank Miller's 1986 graphic novel, The Dark Knight Returns. Miller resurrected the brooding vigilante Batman of the 1940s and put him in the middle-aged body of a jaded and world-weary Bruce Wayne. Miller's graphic novel set the tone of the 1989 Batman movie. In this scene, newspaper photographer Vicki Vale confronts Batman about his violent nature.
A lot of people think you're as dangerous as the Joker.
He's psychotic.
Some people say the same thing about you. I mean, let's face it, you're not exactly normal, are you?
One flaw that the four Batman movies share is that they're too dependent on technology, says Mike Barr, a fan of Batman as a child, who went on to write Batman comics in the late 1970s.
One of the most attractive things about Batman is that his most potent weapon is what's between his ears. And I think the movies go too far in giving Batman gimmicks and physical objects to extract him from traps and dilemmas rather than having him think his way out.
I think the real test of a heroic icon is its staying power.
Again, Frank Miller.
There will be characters that will capture the public imagination for even a generation and then fade. Whereas other ones just keep getting reborn. We can't shake Robin Hood. The same with Superman, the same with Batman.
Next season, CBS will air a reunion movie with the stars of the 1960s TV series. Also set for the new season is Birds of Prey on the WB network. The show features a trio of female crime fighters that includes a wheelchair-bound Batgirl. For NPR News, I'm John Kalish in New York.